original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. If this is your first time tuning in, we broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if you are questioning your career-ality, did I say ality? I can't believe I said ality. If you're questioning your career reality, I've been drinking a little too much eggnog over here. This show is for you. It's for people who were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. So if that is you, you are on the right channel today. Our guests provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or even download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. If you're listening to us live, you're already there, so all you have to do is click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1, and then you scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, click the link, and this takes you directly to the archive page, and this is where you can view a list of the past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes, and it's under the podcast section of iTunes. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there will be shows from 2008 until present. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you want to go to the official Question Reality website, and that has all of our guests from, I actually didn't go back 2008, our show has been on since 2008, but it covers 2010, of course, until the guest today, and we will be updating it with the guest. We're actually booked until the end of April, and we kind of had to put a hold on it because they were just coming in fast and furious. The guests are just lined up. Thank God. Praise the Lord and Allah and Muhammad and all the other people that give us life and affirmation that we exist. And we're very happy, and we appreciate that you want to be a guest on our show. So we'll be contacting you. Now, if you know someone that is in the entertainment business and they work professionally in some capacity, we really want some behind-the-scenes people, script supervisors, post-production people, editors, prop people, makeup artists. We really want to focus on the behind-the-scenes jobs for 2012. So if you know anyone, please have them contact us. Now, you don't have to be in California to come on the show. We can do a remote show from anywhere in the world. So even if they're in Russia or Tajikistan or whatever, another one of those four or five syllable countries, we don't care. It's even more interesting to find out what's going on in the world of entertainment in the smaller country. So please refer your family and friends, and we will interview them and possibly have them on the show. Now, we, as every December, we have this lovely, lovely woman come on, because at the end of the year, I am particularly fascinated with finding out her opinions of what were the best and worst movies, according to not only her, but she, of course, knows what's going on. She's got her little finger on the pulse of the nation. So she'll be able to tell us some of the worst and best movies. We hate to think of worst, but unfortunately, they're out there, and you've seen some of them, I'm sure, this year. So we are going to find out. Her name is Betty Jo Tucker. Tucker, and she is an editor and a film critic and a writer and a host. This is one of the most fantastic, incredible women that I have ever spoken to. I've had the pleasure of having her on the show for a couple years now, and people just love her. Whenever I send out an email that she's going to be on the show, I get a lot of responses with a lot of questions. So much so, we weren't able to cover all of the questions last year. So we emailed the people and told them we're having her back on the show. If they're interested in listening again, we welcome them, and we're going to honor their questions first. We also got new questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you from some of our newer listeners, and we will be doing your questions. And you received an email saying that we would, and we would. And I just spoke to Betty Jo Tucker before we went live, and she is going to take all of the questions. So hopefully we can find out all about her, get her picks, and do the questions, but we're going to see. We only got 50 minutes. But if you want to check out her website and her reviews of films, you want to go to realtalkreviews.com. That's realtalkreviews.com. She also is on blog. I never know which is the right one. I'm going to say blog. No, blog. I'm East Coast. It's blog. blogtalkradio.com. Blog radio. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced. It sounds weird. It's a weird word. I don't even know. Excuse me. Who came up with that word? Blog. It's a weird word. I have a problem with it. Okay. blogtalkradio.com/ Movie Addict Headquarters, all one word, Movie Addict Headquarters. And that is where you're going to find Betty Jo Tucker. She also has her own website, which is bettyjotucker.com, exactly how it sounds, BettyJoTucker.com. And she is, I just can't wait for you to meet her. I'm going to do a brief bio on her, but I just can't wait till you hear her. She is the cutest little thing ever. I want to pick her up and put her in a red velvet cupcake, put her on top as a topper because she's so adorable. So just a little bit about her. Betty Jo serves as the editor and the lead film critic for Real Talk Movie Reviews. And this is a website with over 3,500 film reviews and more than 500 featured articles. For all of you movie buffs, this is like a dream come true. She also writes movie commentary for the Colorado Senior Beacon and is the author of 3 film-related books, which are wonderful. I cannot tell you how good these books are because she's so funny. I love books that really have a really sardonic sense of wit. She's very clever. The first book is called Confessions of a Movie Addict, Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick, and The Real Deal. Did I get that right? The first one is Confessions of a Movie Addict. Second one is Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick. And the third one is The Real Deal, R-E-E-L Deal. And writing movies as well as a co-author is what she does best. She wrote a book called It Had to Be Us. I love that. A little take on the song, I'm sure. It's an award-winning romantic memoir. And you got to read this story. She and her husband, they are cute as little ticks. I don't know if you find ticks cute. I don't know where I got that expression. I'm going to delete that right now. They're cute as bugs in a rug. Okay. All right. So we're going to find out about her better half. And her radio show is Movie Addict Headquarters. And that can be heard via the internet again on Blog Talk Radio. And check her out. BettyJoTucker.com. Now, without further ado, let's talk to this wonderful woman, Betty Jo Tucker. Are you there or did you fall asleep?
Of course I'm here.
Priscilla,
do you think that I would pass up the opportunity to talk with one of my favorite people about my favorite subject and to hear your introduction? I'd be here just for the introduction.
I know the damn things are so long. You know, I have to do it because I just feel that there should be a format to a radio show, just like a television show. I listen to a lot of internet radio, and I find that a lot of people don't intro the guests all the time. And I think they don't intro their show. So if somebody's tuning in, they don't know what the hell the show's about. And then they don't bother even doing a brief intro for the guests. And I think, what in the hell? If I tuned in and I just heard somebody talking, if I started a show and I didn't know what it was about, it would really turn me off. So I do try to do the bios. My husband says, they're so long. Can't you crop them down? And I try, but I do like to get all of the juicy little things. So I hope I got your parts.
You do it so well, but I have to. I'm going to have to tell my husband Larry that he's been called a bug in a rug. First a little chick, and then a bug in a rug. He's going to get a kick out of that.
No, I call after reading that award-winning romantic memoir that you wrote. It had to be us. I call him Larry Lover now. Did you know?
Oh, yes.
He
yes.
is Larry Lover to me. He is the lover. So we want to find out more. Now, where is Larry today? Is he there with you, or is he out doing his thing?
Well, he's here because I think he's watching television while I'm talking with you. And I did want to mention that in the book, It Had to Be Us, that we used pseudonyms in writing that book. So if people are interested in reading it, the ebook is on Kindle, and that's the one that became a bestseller, and it did win an award by the Hollywood Book Festival. But they will look for Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence as the authors, because when we wrote that, we didn't want anybody to know that it was us. But then after the book got written, all of our friends knew it was us anyway. So we really didn't need to do it. We changed the town. We changed our names. We changed the town. And we got, you know, letters and emails about people knowing that it was us anyway.
I wish you would have left your names, because I tell you, it's just, I would want everyone in the world to know it was Betty Jo Tucker, because that is a name in itself. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Now, tell us if people want to get that. I imagine you get it on Amazon, since you said a Kindle,
yes.
Right?
And, right. That's the only place it's available now. The original was a paperback, but that's out of print now. But the ebook, which is an expanded version of the paperback, is available on Amazon Kindle store. And our author's royalties go to the Dollywood Foundation for her children's literacy program. So it's a worthwhile book it's fun to read. I mean, it's kind of sad, and but it's mostly humorous, and it's very, very romantic. Mm-hmm. But you know that your money is going for a good cause, at least the author's royalties part of it, if you buy It Had to Be Us by Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence at Amazon's Kindle store.
I'm glad.
Was that a pretty good plug?
That was really good, because they'd be looking for Betty Jo Tucker. And you know I love your name, so I don't say Betty or Betty Jo. I usually just say the whole name, Betty Jo Tucker, because I love that name. I think that your name would be more famous than Betty Crocker, Betty Jo Tucker. It should be.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when I was doing an interview with Tony Curtis, in fact, I think we may have had the last review that he gave before he passed on, when he was having trouble with his hearing. Now, I'm of an age where I'm having that trouble too. But anyway, when he heard my name, he said, "What a wonderful name.
Oh.
Betty Culpepper." Betty Culpepper. He says, "And listen to this. Have I got the movie for you? Betty Culpepper, starring in Montana Falls."
Oh, my God.
So And then, but I never, but he passed away and we never got to do the movie. So, but, so that's a different name.
That actually sounds like a movie that would star Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, like Andy Hardy, like an Andy Hardy movie, doesn't it? Now you have interviewed so many celebrities. Why don't you refresh us on all of the wonderful stars that you have interviewed, and if any of them are noteworthy and fun, and what you want to share, let's share some of your interviews, your most memorable ones.
Well, it's like picking your favorite child, you know, when you try to pick out the interviews there. But actually, some come to mind right away. Not that they're the favorites, but I mean, they're just something about them that just is fun to talk about. And Cloris Leachman was
one of my favorite shows.
I tell you, it was a comedy ambush rather than an interview. Because she had just published this wonderful autobiography called Cloris, and of course she wanted to talk about that. So that's primarily the reason that she was on Movie Addict headquarters. And her son, I think, is still probably serving as her manager, and he came along to be on the show too. And I wasn't prepared for that, but she came on and things were going fine, and all of a sudden she says, oh George, oh yes, give me some of that soup. And she spent about 15 minutes of the show eating soup and making the sound effects for eating soup. I know. So anyway, we had to get through that. And then she mentioned that it was her birthday. So all of us on the show sang happy birthday to her. And she said, that's the worst singing I've ever heard.
Oh, she is just
so
fun. I love Cloris Leachman. I mean, I watched her on the Mary Tyler Moore show. She was I love her, and I am so happy that she's still out there on a show, a sitcom called Raising Hope, and
yes,
she is a riot. Do you watch it?
Oh yes, and she is one of my favorites, and
she did end up
the show with talking about her time working with Mel Brooks in Young Frankenstein. And she just was hilarious telling about the behind the scenes stories there. So she stands out. And also Ian McKellen. I was so
I
would get
Lord
this.
The
yeah.
Oh.
I thought, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get this snobby English Shakespearean trained.
Yeah, he is very, very, very scary. He would be scary to interview. I'd be so intimidated.
Oh, but he was so down to earth and just so articulate and so courteous and humorous. And I just, you know, felt like I was kind of chatting with a favorite uncle or something as the interview went on. So that was one that I really enjoyed, and so many. I hate to pick out.
Well, don't you pick out the hot guys for me? Why don't you let's do the interviews?
Okay,
with the hot guys.
All
the
hotties. Okay. Do you consider Guy Pearce as hot?
Oh yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was in San Diego for the PR work he was in San Diego as part of the PR for LA Confidential when that came out. Mm-hmm. And Larry and I interviewed him, and he was you know, in L.A. Confidential, he wore the suit and he had the hair slicked back.
Right.
And when we met him in this hotel room, he had spiky hair, leather jacket. Larry says,
I can't picture that.
Yeah, and Larry says, oh my gosh, he says, that's not Guy Pearce, they've sent in a ringer. Because Larry took the pictures. He was a photographer, you know, for my interviews that I did in San Diego. But I could see the high cheekbones, you know, that he had and those piercing eyes. So I knew that it was Guy Pearce. But he was completely different than you thought he would be. So that would be a hot guy.
Yes. I don't know if
so I've got one for you.
I don't know if you actually caught what I said. I think I was cut off, but when you said Guy Pearce, I said, oh yeah, you said I don't know if you find Guy Pearce hot. And I said, oh yes, I would let him pierce me anytime. And I thought,
oh no.
I'm so glad that wasn't picked up. But now I just repeated it. So, oh my God, I hope my mother's not listening to this show. Okay, who else are some hotties that you interviewed?
Well, how about Brendan Fraser?
Oh no, I can't work with that. No. No. He's cute. Come on, tell us about Brendan Fraser.
Let me tell you. We went to the Disney premiere party at the Wild Animal Park in San Diego. That was where they held the premiere for George of the Jungle.
Oh, that's the one. Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Fraser was, of course, one of the stars that attended, and he really, really worked out for George of the Jungle. I mean, he never looked better than when he was in George of the Jungle. And he just looked so, so handsome in person. And, of course, I was surprised at how much time he took to spend with talking with all the little kids who attended.
Really?
Because, you know, all the families of the cast and crew were invited, and I'm sure families of the bigwigs in San Diego. And he was so good with the children. I could hardly believe, the way he charmed them.
Oh.
And but I mostly remember how great he looked.
That's what I would remember.
It was so wonderful to shake his hand.
That is what I would be remembering too, and I'd have to record everything else because I wouldn't remember it around the hot guys. Mike,
it was hard to remember anything else. Yeah, right.
Now let's be fair. Let's talk about some of the hottie women who are some of the.
Oh my gosh! This I think I told this story maybe last time on your show because we interviewed Angelina Jolie when she was doing a PR tour for Hackers, and she was in San Diego, and she was with Johnny Miller. He was in that film too, and he later became, I think, her first husband. And I don't think it's right for critics to have their pictures taken mm-hmm. with celebrities. I think it's
right.
Not very professional.
Right.
But Angelina would have it no other way. She said, come here and sit on the couch, you know, between us. And I said, no, I don't think it's come on over here and sit on the couch and get your picture taken with us. And so I have my picture taken sitting on the couch with in between Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller. And I sent you the book, Confessions of a Movie
right.
Addict. So that picture is in the
right.
is in the book. And I am so glad that I did have that picture taken because I became a very important person in the eyes of my grandchildren. Oh, you had your picture taken with Angelina Jolie.
Is she
yeah,
so
and, you
like,
know, now I know that why she has so much power. She can get you to do, you know, a lot of things that you don't really
right?
usually do.
Right.
So that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear she's nice because a lot of people, I don't know, maybe a lot of people judge her on her looks, that she looks bitchy, because I've just heard a lot of people say that, which I think is crazy because a lot of people look bitchy and they're very nice. But I'm glad to hear that because I can tell the story of her kindness when people attack her for looking bitchy. I can say, well, she actually is not, because she treated my friend Betty Jo Tucker so very kindly. So,
and Debbie Reynolds is another very, very wonderful person when you meet her.
Oh, my
and
God.
We,
you know, I just
yeah.
saw her the other night on the AMC channel, Susan Slept Here. Did you ever see that?
Yes, I like that. I've seen practically every movie that, well, I think I have seen every movie that Debbie Reynolds has.
But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, she was trying to, I think she was well into her, I think physically, I think she was like maybe 25 when she did that. And I think they were trying she was supposed to be 17 in the film. And I just loved her so much. And I thought, well, I've never seen the movie. Let me check it out. And also, I'd been wanting to see it because it was William Powell's last movie. He didn't want to do that film because he had wanted to go more into directing and producing. And I believe the story goes Howard Hughes owned the studio at that time. And
yes.
He promised William Powell that if he did it, that he would let him direct some more of his feature films. And so he did it. That was his very last film. And he went on to direct movies and television. That was his last acting appearance. Am I correct on that?
I think you're right. I'd have to check on that, but yeah. I trust you.
Good. I think that's it. But, you know, we have so many questions. I want to get to the questions now because I'm
okay.
So afraid that we're going to miss them. And then we are going to talk about, we'll leave the show with talking about your best picture favorite movies of the year and some that you feel I don't like to do the worst movies, but we have.
No, I don't either. But
I really don't. I like to do the positive. Maybe we'll just call them partial Rotten Tomato.
I have some honorable mentions and then I have some dishonorable mentions.
Okay,
so we'll just call them dishonorable mentions.
We'll call them dishonorable. Okay. So here we go, everyone. We are going to be reading the questions. We're going to start first with the questions that came when Betty Jo Tucker was on the show last time and we didn't cover those questions. So let's go with the first one. This is from Bonnie from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Bonnie wrote, Dear Betty, how do you critique the differences between an actor's performance and perhaps the amazing direction given by a director? That area would seem like the hardest to critique. And again, Bonnie from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, Bobby from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is it Bobby or Ronnie?
It's Bonnie.
Bobby. Okay, Bobby from Tulsa. Bobby, that is... I love that question. In fact, I think you should be a film critic because a lot of people don't think about how important a director is to an actor's performance. And I do try when I'm not necessarily when I'm writing a film review, but whenever I'm doing an interview with the actor, I will ask about his or her relationship with the director and what the director did to bring, you know, to get that particular performance. And then whenever I'm talking to the director, I'll ask the same question, what techniques did you use? And it's very interesting that some directors have said that they don't use, many of them actually have said this, they don't use the same techniques with every actor. They will, you know, actually do different things with different actors to get that performance that they want. And so you hit on a very important idea for film critics to think about. How much is the actor's performance influenced by what the director is doing to get that performance? So I just think you should consider thinking about doing some writing about films or some interviewing. Don't you, Priscilla?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. And we want to make sure that name is correct. It's Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, Bonnie from Tulsa. And
Bonnie.
That's okay.
Hey, Bonnie.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You're on the same track as, who was that whose hearing was going? We were talking about it earlier. Who was Who was that?
Yeah, Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis, you're hot on the trail. Tony Curtis, Betty Jo Tucker. But
this
yeah.
was Bonnie. Okay,
yeah,
but
Bonnie.
Thank you for the question,
thank
Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie. But yeah, I do feel that is really, that's not a standard operating procedural question by an average person. I hope I said that right. That does sound like a critic's question. Okay, the next question comes to us from Lisa from Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, yay, I went to college in Maryland. Okay, so it comes from Lisa, and she says, Dear Betty, payola is such a known factor in the entertainment business. When we go online to read critics' reviews or even the moviegoers' reviews, how can you really know it is authentic? Lisa from Baltimore, Maryland. Go, Betty.
So I've got the name right this time. Lisa.
Yes, you do.
Okay, I'm ahead. All right. But repeat the question.
Yeah, she
Priscilla,
said, Lisa said, payola is such a known factor. You know how people get if they give a good mention, or you know, back in the days when they used to play songs and then they would get kickbacks, kickbacks. So payola is such a known factor in the entertainment business. People give plugs and then they get cash, or they get a house, or they get a car from somebody. Mm-hmm. So she's saying payola is such a known factor in the entertainment business. When we go online to read a critic's reviews, I don't know why she mentioned moviegoers. I don't know what kickback they're going to. Oh, I would imagine because they write blogs. That's probably why she's saying that. Okay. So when we go online to read the critics' reviews or even the moviegoers' reviews, how can you really know it's authentic? So I guess she's saying how can we really believe it? Because, you know, a lot of times that people associated with the film actually have their people, friends or family members go online and write reviews and say, oh my God, it was the best thing since Campbell's soup, and they haven't even seen it, but they're trying to help get people to see the movie. So when you have so many people doing this, and then mm-hmm. you know, critics have been paid off to write good reviews, we all know that, how can you really feel that it's authentic? I guess you really can't. In my opinion, I guess you can. I mean, you just go see it yourself, but she's asking your opinion on that.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Priscilla. That's a hard thing to tell,
but
I think what Lisa should do, if she's worried about this, and anyone who's worried about that, because I'm sure there's some of that going on, but I think you find a critic that you trust and that you think is objective, and that has some of your same ideas and opinions about films. You seem to be on the same wavelength, and trust, you know, and go with that critic, and you know, don't pay so much attention to some that you were kind of suspicious of.
Right.
So I would say build if you have found some critics that you trust, mm-hmm. you know, and that you've seen the movies that critic has seen and you have some of the similar opinions, then, you know, you don't have to worry. I don't think there's any payola there. You have a critic who sometimes gives negative reviews. Personally, I'm more of I tend more to be a fan of movies. I know how hard it is to make the movies. I know how long it takes to make the movies. I know how much work goes into it. And I like to be more supportive. But I do see some, and I have a high tolerance for bad movies, and I do see some bad movies. I do hate to write bad reviews, but I will do honest criticism. So, and I'm sure you'll find many, many critics who are objective, or if they have a bias, they'll tell you ahead of time. And I like to do that too. I have some actors that any movie that they're in, you know, I have a halo effect on them.
Right.
And so I just say right up front, you know, listen, folks, I'm, you know, Johnny Depp can do no wrong in my mind. Hugh Jackman, I don't think I've, yes, I think I did give a negative review to Van Helsing, but I cried while I was doing it. But well, I think that's the point there, is that you just need to read reviews from critics that you trust.
Yeah, and it's so personal. I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about my personal thoughts on that, because I think I have an explanation for what I feel about movies and television shows, because I get asked a lot because I'm a huge movie fan too. Not like you, Betty Jo Tucker, but I do see lots of movies. Albert and I love going to the movies, and we love television, so I get asked a lot, so it's very hard. Okay, the next question comes from Tristan from New York, and I'm going to go back to Lisa's question for a minute, because the more I look at it, the more I understand why she would ask that, because in today's economy, every cent that you make is very valuable. And if you are going to go out and spend, we'll elaborate on this movie. I want to talk about this. I cannot let this interview end with talking about a movie that Albert and I went to see last weekend, which was Hugo. Hold it, Betty Jo. I know you're bursting to give your opinion. This movie, we went to see at LA Live. Our mouths were wide open. We found out the ticket was $17.50 each. Yes, it was. We went to see it IMAX at the LA Live, which is, they're trying to make it like Madison Square Garden, very New Yorkish. It's a wonderful, wonderful area here. But it was $17.50 a ticket, and this was at the matinee. So plus we had to end up paying like $20 parking. So as I would add to Lisa's question in that, you know, it's very hard to listen to a lot of people's opinions. Some people are going to like it. Some people aren't going to like it. We do research because we want our money to be spent on movies that we're really going to like. It's very hard because when you're reading critics' reviews, you are going to see people who love it, and then you're going to see people who hate it. And you got to somehow make your own opinion and just decide, do you want to spend the money, is what I come down. And it's going to come down to me for not only the reviews, but the trailer. But those trailers are tricky because sometimes I found movies, the trailer's better than the actual movie. I was like, oh, I could have just saw the trailer and got more than I got out of the film. So I would think Lisa is asking that question because when you're relying on a critic to give you a review, it's because you want to make sure if you're going to pay $17.50 for a movie, it is going to be worth it. And you're going to walk out of there feeling like $1 million. Oh, and then the cost. I don't know where you are, Betty Jo Tucker, but we got one popcorn, a slushy, bottle of water, and some milk duds, and it was $25. So. You know, by the time you leave there, it's like you've spent almost $100. So a critic's reviews are very important. So I would think that that's why Lisa said that. Okay, so let's move
Good
on.
Good point.
Because money is very important these days. So you don't want to spend it on any duds because there are so many other things you can do. You can wait for it to come on Netflix. I mean, the way movies are coming in to the theaters and going out a month or two later, you can just wait for Netflix and get it from there. Okay, so let's go to Tristan from New York. She writes, Dear Betty, I've always been curious what makes up the principles of a film critic that they use to define what is a good film?
Oh, that is an excellent question. And is it Tristan?
Yeah,
or
Tristan. Tristan with a T, Tristan
okay.
from New York.
Hmm? What are the principles that
what makes up the principles that a film critic uses to define a good film for them?
Well, I think probably each film critic might have their own principles, but basically in the course that I teach, which is the real deal, writing about movies, which is an online course offered by the Long Story Short School of Writing, the principles that I use in that course is to help students develop the things that they're looking for in a movie, and I share with them what I'm looking for, which happens to be an involving story. Now, sometimes the movies have gone away from that, an involving story. Cinematic artistry would be the second thing. And then the third thing would be believable performances. And then give my critique based on those three elements, and I help the students, you know, develop their critiques around those three elements. So it would be, again, it would be an involving story. I mean, you're really into it. And then the cinematic artistry, the editing, the cinematography, the music. And then third would be, and I don't mean these in any particular order, but the performances, the believable performances of the actors in the movie. Does that make sense to you, Priscilla?
Yeah, it absolutely does, because as I said earlier, because Albert and I go to the movies very often, and I'm also a huge television fan, I'm often asked about my opinion from my friends before they go to see a movie or check out a new show, and I feel very honored to give my opinion, as most people would, and I really try to be well-balanced in my opinion, because I don't want to deter anybody from seeing it for themselves to form their own opinion. So just because I'm not head over heels about a show or a movie doesn't mean that they won't be. So it's a very, very slippery slope. So I found that over the years, Betty, what I've done is I try to develop a philosophy, and I just tell people how the film or TV show made me personally feel during and after, and why I think that was the case because of my personal style. So I always say, because I like sardonic wit, or because I like high farce comedy, this is why I liked it. And I feel that if you're going to give your opinion, I feel that you should emphasize your personal likes and dislikes, so you're not really stamping your opinion in stone. And people will kind of take your opinion with a grain of salt if you don't have the most positive things to say, and they go and watch it for themselves. So that's what I do, because I don't like to say a movie is bad, but if it's really, really bad, I have no problem saying it. But I do I do try to do it that way, because I think if you tell someone, well, I'm not a fan of spaghetti westerns, but if you want my – that way they'll say, well, you know, she said she wasn't a fan, so I'm going to go see it anyway. Because I think
– I like the way you think. That's I'm right on your same wavelength there, Priscilla. But that was really a good question from Tristan. Thank you, Tristan.
Yeah, I got some goodies here. I told you there were some goodies. Now, I'm going to jump to the questions that were asked recently, and I think we're going to have to do it next time. We still have a couple left over, but let's go to some of the questions, because we're really rounding the end here. Let's go to a question that was asked from Chad from Tribeca, and this is a long one, but – now, let me see, based on my discussion. Okay. He says, dear Betty, based on discussions with my friends, I think that over the years, critics don't have that much influence over the movie-going public. The majority of moviegoers nowadays simply ignore the critics and go see what they want to see, whether they read about it being the worst movie ever or not. Do you find that this is true also? Well, I'll answer that. I do, but you go ahead, Betty. I think we were just talking about that. I wonder if that's kind of redundant.
I think we
covered it.
Well, but it is true. I'm with you on that, Tad. I'm with you on that too, because I think it's word of mouth, and and you trust, you know, there are certain friends that you can talk to that you trust, or you just want to go out for the evening and you're not really, you know, the movie, it doesn't really matter. I mean, so many of young people, you know, it's just a way to get out. And I think that, they probably, some of them, you know, could care less what a critic thinks about the film. So
yeah.
I believe you've stumbled on a basic fact of life.
That's Pam. Right. The next question, I'm going to read it, even though we kind of covered it already, but I, out of respect to her writing it, this comes from Daphne from LaGrange, Chicago. And she said, dear Betty, in general, I think the majority of moviegoers feel we have a perfectly solid grasp on our own tastes and simply don't feel we need the opinions, thoughts of a so-called expert anymore. I think that a film's marketing campaign and word of mouth from friends are far more important to me than reading a critical analysis from a stranger. If you acknowledge and agree with that as a critic, as I do as a moviegoer, what do you feel the professional horizon of the paid film critic will be in 10 or 20 years? Wow.
Wow. That's,
and let's just give this a minute because we're at 5:46 and I got to end it in a couple minutes. So we'll just give a minute to this, hopefully. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, you can see the writing on the wall. The with writers with film critics. Now, for example, I do the film criticism because I love to talk about movies and I love to write about movies and I love movies. So, and a lot of film critics are in the business whether they get paid or not, like many artists who do their work whether they get paid or not. And the ones that do get paid are lucky. So you can't plan on 20 years in the future making a lot of money by being a film critic. So I think, Jackie, you're kind of looking into a crystal ball, and what you're saying is what you're saying. There's a lot of truth to that, too, Jackie. So I wouldn't encourage anyone to go into to get the idea that they're going to make a lot of money as a film critic. So, Priscilla, I'm going to have to just cut off with that because I know you want to get to movies. And
I do. Now,
Jackie, thank you.
Daphne, thank you.
Is it Daphne?
It's Daphne, Betty Jo.
Oh,
you're
Tony
so
Curtis.
Funny. Tony Curtis is fast approaching. You're going to meet him behind the pearly gates, and he's going to be
Well, now, just a minute. I did turn 80 in March, so you have to be gentle with me.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, my
yes.
God. You don't sound a day over 40.
Well, thank you, but my ears are going. I do have to tell you that. That's why I identified with Tony.
Well, all of our parts are going south for the winter every year. So, all right. Well, we got 2 minutes, Betty Jo. Please say that Hugo was one of your favorite movies. I loved it more than anything in the whole world. Let's give it some love.
Yes. Oh, yes. Hugo is right now. I'm just in love with it, and I'm going to just quickly give you my 10 favorite movies of the year. I'm just gonna mention them so people will get the Netflix or go out to see them if they're playing now. So I've got Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Hugo, The Artist, Drive, The Muppets, Bridesmaids, Real Steel, The Adjustment Bureau, The Descendants, and Larry Crown. Now, those are my 10 best movies of the year, and I do have some dishonorable mentions. These are in alphabetical order. Dream House, Hoodwink 2, I Melt With You, One Day, Rampart, The Iron Lady, or I know somebody's going to email and say, how could I put that on there? But I did. And Your Highness. So did we get those in time?
We did, but I've never even heard of these movies. Where the hell are these movies playing?
You haven't heard of Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Dishonorable.
Oh, The Dishonorable. Oh, you haven't heard about Dream House with Daniel Craig? And you haven't heard of One Day with Anne Hathaway or Rampart with Woody Harrelson, or The Iron Lady with Meryl Streep. It's about Margaret Thatcher, or Your Highness with Natalie Portman.
Wow. Wow, these
and
are
James
like
Franco.
Do you see? These are A-list actors. And you see that, people who spend all these money on a film just because you're getting A-list Oscars? I think there was the movie, there were some Oscar winners in the dishonorable mentions. I believe there were some Oscar winners in there. You'd know better than me. But just because you spend a ton of money doesn't guarantee that you're going to have all the people love your film.
No, and that's my opinion, in my opinion.
Oh, in your, that's right, in your personal opinion. Okay, we have got to go, but last, who do you, what's going to be Oscar winner for Best Picture and Best Director?
All right, I think they're gonna honor these two movies that are about movie making, and I think they're going to pick The Artist, which is a silent movie. I hope everyone goes to see it. It is just a charming black and white film that pays homage to silent movies.
Who is it?
And it has the best ending of a film, I think, this year. Hugo, I think Martin Scorsese will get the director for the wonderful job he did on Hugo. So I think those two movies will get a lot of play with the Oscars.
Well,
I'm hoping.
Well, I'm going to every time you give an opinion, I get the film. So I am actually going to get The Artist and put that on my Netflix. You know what the hell I'm saying? The damn Netflix list. I can't say that word. I'm going to put it on my list anyway. But I highly recommend that you go see Hugo. Oh, my God. OMG times two. For people who say, and this was going to sway us, Betty Jo Tucker, from not going to see it, and we were going to wait for it to go on Netflix, and I said, you know what? Let's give it a try. And even though we paid a fortune to go see this film, they were saying – the critics as well as the moviegoers had the audacity to say that it had beautiful visual effects, but the story wasn't strong. It wasn't a strong story. And for those people, I say shame on you. And for those people who listen and don't go see that film, shame on you too, because that almost swayed us, but we gave the benefit of the doubt. And I guarantee you, if you go see this movie, you will see that it has a very strong story. Just because there's no murder, death, kill, doesn't mean it's not a strong story. This is a movie for people who love and appreciate the history of film. So
exactly.
If you
yes,
want
exactly.
To know what the roots were for you going to see your murder, death, kill movies, you want to go see Hugo, because this is a film for people who love, appreciate, and want to honor the history of filmmaking. And that's what the story is about. It's fantastic, incredible. Betty Jo Tucker, we have got to go. I am already above and beyond my duty call, and I'm going to get in trouble. But Betty Jo Tucker, thank you so much for coming on the show. Please come on next year. Oh, my God. You got to live to 100 because you've got to be with me. Please don't go.
I'll try.
Please don't go.
I'll try.
Joe Tucker, because you are the one and only film critic for Question Reality. Thank you so much for writing the questions of Betty Jo Tucker. Check her out on BettyJoTucker.com, RealTalkReviews.com, and I guarantee you will not go wrong by getting her book, Confessions of a Movie Addict, Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick, and The Real Deal. And please, please check her out at Blog Talk Radio. Movie Attic headquarters. Thank you, Betty Jo Tucker, and give my Larry Lover a big kiss.
I will, and it's been great fun. Priscilla, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. We love and adore you, Betty Jo Tucker. You're one of the true great human beings that has graced the earth.
Bless you, Priscilla.
Thanks. You're welcome. God love you, Betty Jo Tucker. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Not going to be on next week. Next time we'll see you, we'll be in 2012. So say Merry Christmas to your fans and Happy New Year, Betty Jo Tucker.
I'll do that. And I can't wait to talk to you next year around this time. So bye for now.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.